Hi, everybody, and welcome to Serial from the Box.
I'm Marie.
And I'm Gianna. And on this show, we are going to be talking to you about a bunch of fun things. So let's just skip right ahead. Marie, how's it going?
It is going okay. I have been incredibly busy lately. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like the kind of the normal stuff of school and then fields, which ended this week for me.
Oh, that's good.
And then RA stuff. Yeah, my head's like kind of scattered because I have 500 million papers to write. Yesterday evening, the whole class tried to petition our professor to drop one of the papers. So I think that's just like where everybody's at right now.
But so did he do it?
He said he would consider. I was really hoping a different professor was going to drop the paper that we had because she was like, depending on how everyone does on like the midterm exam, I might just add the points to the final exam and, a drop of the paper. And then she went back on her word pretty quickly with that. And everyone was like, I have test anxiety. I'm so worried if it was to be a part of the exam. And I'm like, I'm confused because this is an open note exam. Yes, it's timed, but I don't think it should be that, I don't know, challenging. But I'm also coming from the place where like I'm not super stressed about these exams because I know it's open note, but having to write another paper is literally gonna kill my brain.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know anything about grad school. Let me just preface this statement. But, like, if you're smart enough to get into grad school and you're taking an open note exam, I feel like, if, unless you have, so this is a thing, and, like, obviously, like, I don't know everyone's life, but unless you have, like, something that prevents you from reading in a reasonable, like, amount of time, or, like, if you're only given 30 minutes to complete like a 57,000 word, whatever. I feel like if you have an open note, like it should reduce your anxiety quite a bit.
Well, I guess that's the thing that confused me because our professor was so hesitant to extend the amount of time that you got on the exam. Because I will like to give them some credit, like the people that were feeling this way, you did have to be like a little bit prepared in order to take the exam because you only have like I don't know like 2 minutes per question. So if you don't know where in the class material the stuff is coming
How?
from.
How only 2 minutes per question?
I don't know. For whatever reason, she's like, oh, it's open note, but also at the same time, I'm going to put a time limit on it. You have X amount of questions you need to complete in this amount of time. I don't remember specifically what it was. But yeah, so I don't know why she wasn't just, especially if she knows she intentionally made it open note. I don't understand why she couldn't just been like, it's unlimited amount of time. Go at it. Like, that would reduce test anxiety so much because I think usually what causes the anxiety for these people is like that they're gonna run out of time. And some of it is like short answer too.
Wait, just let me this is a like a psychology teacher.
No, well, I don't know what her background is,
What
to
class
be
is she
honest.
teaching?
She's teaching an addictive behaviors class. So she has, I know clinically she has a background in substance use and working with that population, and obviously she's a social worker. So I don't know like what she got her undergrad in. She's just like I don't know. This class has been so frustrating. Tori, who was on the show last week with us, is also taking this class with me. And we just complain all the time because we're like we
It
took
sounds
a
like pretty bad.
yeah, I Not to her fault, because I'm sure she's very busy with her clinical work and then also being adjunct faculty. And adjunct faculty are treated like shit by most universities and things like that. So, not entirely her fault, but I also took an addictive behaviors class in undergrad and learned, I feel like, so much more than I've learned in this like graduate level course. So, just a little disappointing, but I mean, I'm also in school. I don't need to be ranting about it anymore. has there been anything? I know. Has there been anything going on with you?
Wait, before we get to me, Marie has some good news to share.
Oh, yeah. I potentially. It's not in writing, but I did agree to a job, so I will be an employed individual.
And we're very happy for you. We're just switching places.
Yeah, kind of ironically, because Gianna's going to school now.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Well, so I got, I sent materials in, like, randomly for this show that's going to be off-Broadway. Like, it's a dance show, so it's, like, 80s music, ballet, and jazz. And they asked me to come in.
Ooh!
So, they're not doing it until June 19th because the rules of the theater is that everyone has to be fully vaccinated. So they're giving people time to be fully vaccinated, but and then rehearsals would start in July if I did get a role, which I think I might be able to do both.
That sounds like madness, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, do it.
Well, if rehearsals are at night, then I would be able to do. Like, sure. I would totally be able to do it and just like die of exhaustion, but it would be worth it.
That might be debatable, but I feel you on that. Is there any way, because I know you said that the classes start in the summer too, can you have them start in the fall? Or does that affect scholarship stuff?
I already signed up. It would affect my scholarship stuff because I'm getting a scholarship for starting in the summer. But like, we'll see what happens. I don't know if we'll get it.
But it would be fun if you did.
So fun if I did. And it's like kind of like literally my thing, like ballet, jazz, and 80s music. Like,
yes, those are 80s. The
main parts of my personality.
Yes.
So I just was excited yesterday when I saw that. And at one of my jobs, my students were mean to me, so that boss got me some popcorn, which is what I'm eating today.
Delicious.
And it was actually really helpful because yesterday when I was – so I get out of work at like 10 on Wednesdays, and I was driving home and there's like a huge accident, and that job is already an hour away.
Oh, no.
So I was so upset and I was so hungry and I was like, my popcorn.
Popcorn to the rescue.
So I ate that, which was good. Nice. I mean, other than that, like nothing new. I'm getting my second shot on Sunday.
I'll be fully vaxxed.
Did you feel sick after your second vaccine?
No, I did not. I didn't have really much of a reaction to either, luckily. I did have like a bit of a sore arm the first time, and I was very intentional about drinking lots of water for the second one, and my arm was less sore. That's good. Not saying causality. But I am saying there might be a correlation to drinking a lot of water. Yeah.
I've heard, like, if you drink a lot of water, you'll probably be okay. Just because I have work on Monday morning, and I don't want to call out because I want it to be paid.
That's valid.
Also,
I'd recommend drinking water.
Also, I love my job. So
oh, yes, of course.
Gotta be there. But I'll drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
Because it's my grandpa's birthday, so I'm going to his house right afterwards. So I'll just have like one of those really big waters.
Yeah, just bring like a whole gallon.
Yeah, I'll get a milk jug, like a bodybuilder.
Yeah, you know those people in college, I don't know if this happened at your college, but it definitely happened at my college, people that would just carry around huge jugs of water.
You know what, I would say no, but I was in the dance department and we did have like fitness people, which is fine.
It's always so funny, it just feels like I already feel burdened by having to carry around a water bottle, let alone I couldn't imagine, like, carrying around a gallon of water with me everywhere I went.
The thing is, though, if you did that at purchase, like, at least, like, no one would steal it.
People steal water bottles at purchase.
I literally lost so many water bottles. I don't know, like, the cleaning ladies picked them up and put them somewhere. Like, who knows? One time I saw my hat that I lost in the garbage can, like, not the garbage can, not in it, like, the custodian's cart. It was just sitting on his cart, so I was like...
Did you grab it?
Yes, I did.
Good.
Excuse me, this belongs to me. He was not there. I just took it off the cart and went on my merry way. I was like, I paid at least $5 for that hat, so I will be taking it back.
Yes. Oh my goodness, that's so funny. I feel like we could just have a whole episode about your experience at Purchase. I'm sure you have plenty to share.
Here's the thing, like, and I always say this about Purchase, like, it's a great school. It just wasn't a great school for me.
Yeah.
And, like, some people are so happy there, and they do learn a lot. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, they either didn't like me or, like, I just wasn't, you know, the what they thought. And I also wasn't getting what I wanted out of it. By the end, like, I kind of realized I didn't want that career. So it's a good school. It just wasn't a good school for me. And also, they really need to change some of their faculty and administration, because, like, you're as like a as the director of a department, you shouldn't have favorites.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Also, like, some teachers are like 80 years old. Like, they just
naturally.
Like, if you forget what you're teaching in the middle of teaching it, you gotta retire.
Are you kidding?
It was really sad. It was actually really sad because, like, there's also accompanists. Mm. So this teacher would, like, go on a phrase and he'd be like, not counting. So he'd have, like, phrases of, like, sevens and fours and sixes in the same, like, piece of music. Mm-hmm. So the pianists are, like, trying to make something up. Because what piece of music is made like that? None of them. None of them.
Oh, no.
Anyways, enough about CD Purchase. Let's get to it. The poor choice. Poor choice for poor people.
So, Gianna, I know that you've been having a bit of a fashion identity crisis.
Oh, God.
And I'm assuming that's what was the catalyst, I don't know how to say that, for this episode idea.
Yeah, so basically, I just, like, again, SUNY Purchase, all I wore was, like, sweatpants. Before that, as Marie can vouch for me, I used to really care about my clothing. And, like, I would dress nicely and, like, I was up to style.
Gianna was our fashion icon friend in our, like, friend group in high school. She was always wearing the best fits.
I was bold. I, like,
you were bold.
I would, like, wear weird stuff. One time, my teacher asked me if I was from a commune, and I did say no. She's like,
I would love to be a part of a commune, actually.
I know you would. You should. You know what, Marie? I feel like you should move to Israel. You would love it there. Because, like, they have, like, first of all, everything is vegan friendly there. Because people who are kosher, sometimes they just become vegan. There's so many vegan restaurants. Everything can be made vegan. And also, people live on, like, mishavs or kibbutz, which is, like, communities, you know.
Yeah.
Like, not really commune, because you sometimes, like, you obviously kind of pay. But, like, mm-hmm. you can have, like, a normal job. But it's, like, so vegan-friendly, and, like, they're, like, so, like, you know. There's a lot of more community, like, farming and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, no one's mom lives on one. And, like, they do, like, group Pilates together.
That makes so much sense. I feel like that fits. Of what I know about Noam's mom, I feel like that fits in with her.
Yeah, you should go visit there.
I know. When we are in a pandemic and we both have enough money to purchase a plane ticket, we can go. And I'm sure, yeah.
Anyway, so, like, yeah, I did have a sense of style. And then at Purchase, I just wore leotards and sweatpants and, like, tank tops. For 5 years-ish, 4 years, I was in college for 4 years, but, like, you know, I took one semester off, and then, like, I was out of college for almost 2 months, when the pandemic started, and, so I've just been wearing dance clothes, leggings. I have an impressive legging collection now. I think I have, like, 7 pairs of leggings, because I have to wear them every day.
I'm kind of jealous, actually. I have such a difficult time finding, like, leggings that I like. So I've just never
Colorful koala on Amazon.com.
I'll have to look.
Literally $23. Feel like Lululemon.
Yummy.
And, like, I only have Lululemon because my sister bought me a pair. for my birthday. I wouldn't have bought it for myself because she has like a real job. Yeah. Anyway, so like I was like frantically over spring break for whatever reason. I was like, damn, like I wish I could dress nicely. And because right now what I've been wearing every day is like mom jeans and some t-shirt and some sweatshirt. And I just like want a little bit of more finesse.
Okay. And yeah, because I mean, like, that's not a bad base. I don't want to diss on the mom jean t-shirt combo.
No, but like the thing is, I feel like that's every single day. And like, yeah. I also just like, I admire people with style, but then it's like they're also sometimes it's like my students. And I'm like, I can't dress like I'm 15 because I am almost 24.
Right.
So, oh my God, I'm almost 24.
We're too old.
I feel so old, but like I feel like I can't dress like a teenager either. So I was asking my friends, like, what should I buy? And in like kind of, I was like, okay, let me try going to a thrift store and like watching different TikToks and stuff. I just kind of couldn't get over like the feeling that like, I don't know, there's just such a fat phobic and like there's like such difficulties for people buying clothing who are in a larger body or just like not in a small straight body. And I really, that just kind of inspired me. Like I wanted to talk about that with you today.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, if you have advice for my style, please just DM me.
We started a Pinterest board. It's all good. Yeah.
It has 24 followers.
I know. I'm doing a good job. But yeah, I mean, like, it's obviously definitely a very real problem. And I feel like where I've seen it talked about the most is TikTok recently. In terms of, like, because, like, I feel like thrifting can be super, like, gentrified in a way, or gets, like, at least adopted by more affluent people as a way to consume more for a lesser cost.
Right. Which,
you know, living in a capitalist society, we're all inclined to do.
But also, like, let me just say, when I was little, my family did not have a lot of money, and we were, like, buying stuff at the thrift store, and, like, you could find really nice things there.
Yeah.
But, like, my mom would be like, oh, don't say you got the thrift store. Like, don't, like, it was, like, kind of embarrassing. And then, like, now it's not really embarrassing. But when I go thrifting, which obviously I've only been once this year because of the pandemic, like in the whole from 2020 to 2021, I've only been one time. There was nothing. Like I couldn't find anything that was like kind of stylish and like nothing in a size that would fit. Like, you know what I mean? It was like nothing in my size was there.
Oh, like, that's interesting.
Someone had
too,
bought my size.
We are both straight sized.
No, and that's like, I feel like all these little teenage girls, you could buy stuff at the store with your daddy's money. And people who don't have money, I'm just trying to find some clothes that look nice.
Yeah.
Okay, rant over. Continue. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. I just saw the frustration on your face. I was like, yeah, you're right. But yeah, I mean, like, obviously we can't speak in terms of, like, personal experience because we're both in straight-sized bodies. But just, like, kind of in general, I mean, the thrift store that I go to when I have gone to the thrift store and not the pandemic, does, I feel like they have like a wide variety of sizes, but the types of clothing that they have for the wide variety of sizes is also kind of like, it gets back to what you're saying about like the lack of fashionable items. Like the dresses are like just a box. But a very, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, not a garment that's made with any kind of, like, real intention in terms of, like, actually fitting a body. It's more just, like, how can we conceal what's underneath this? So I feel like, I don't know, that just must be frustrating just in general, right, to go to stores and not be able to find your size, or you have to special order from a different place, or it's more expensive.
And also what I've been seeing a lot on TikTok is, like, thrift flipping, which, like, have you seen those?
Yes. Yeah, and please, like, share your thoughts, because I have some thoughts about that.
Like, okay, cool, great. Like, if it's something that you like and, like, oh, I can make it into something, like, even cooler, great. But, like, what's happening is, like, these pieces that are, like, pretty decent, not hideous clothing, that are bigger. And these, like, girls who are very small, like, small bodies will buy them and alter them. So it's, like, okay, great that you did that. But now if someone in a larger body goes to the thrift store, there will be nothing for them there. And it's, like, what if that's what they can afford, you know? It's like, you're limiting the options for people who really need them.
Yeah, I feel like there's, like, oh, someone explained it like this, and I thought it was, like, kind of interesting, and it made sense, because, so, like, from my personal experience, and I know this applies to you a little bit too, because we have similar, like, body shapes, but I have a very hard time finding clothing that fits me correctly. Especially like jeans and pants and things.
Don't
like
even
that.
Talk about it.
I know.
OMG.
Yeah, Gianna feels the struggle. But I saw a TikTok that kind of.
Big little waist issue.
Yeah, and then like bigger thighs. It's just like a whole.
It's like you got the thigh, you got the butt, but you're small on the top. So especially high waisted, it's like. Okay, do I want to, like, have my pants falling down, or do I want to, like, not get it over my thigh? Like, what do you want from me?
Right, exactly. Like, I recently bought a pair of jeans from Urban because I had told my nutritionist, I was like, I really just want clothes that fit me and feel comfortable. That'd be really great. So I tried to order something that was, like, closer to my size because I have a propensity to order things that are, like, a bit larger. And I tried doing that. But even then, I was like, well, I can't go down another size because otherwise it's not going to fit. I don't know. So it's just like a whole thing. But this TikTok that I saw put it into perspective for me, because while, yes, that is a challenge that a lot of people go through depending on, you know, their body's proportions and things like that. But this person was saying, you know, when you're in a smaller body or a straight size body, all clothes will go over your body. You will be able to get them on. People in larger bodies can have the struggle of, like, the article of clothing doesn't even fit. Like, you physically just can't put it on your body. And I feel like that's an interesting perspective, because I can sit here complaining all day that, you know, something doesn't fit my body right, but that doesn't mean, like, I can't find clothes that can go on my body. And I feel like that's a huge distinction that, like, I think sometimes when it comes to people being straight size or mid size, we don't really have that kind of, like, appreciation of that kind of privilege, because, I mean, inherently we all think that clothing should fit us, right?
Right.
Anyways,
no,
like,
of course.
It's like housing. Everyone should have housing.
Right.
Everyone should have food. Everyone should have clothes that fit. But, like, the reality is that people don't.
Right. And, like, beyond that, even, like, so a lot of people do, like, thrift for sustainability reasons. Like, I know that you and I do, and for economic reasons, of course. But when it's for sustainability reasons, even, like, you could say, okay, fine, can't find something in the thrift shop, whatever. But then, like, the sustainable brands sometimes don't make clothes big enough to fit everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, not everybody's going to stop at a size 16. There are hundreds and thousands of people that are in a larger body than a size 16.
Yeah.
So you can't be like, okay, go to fast fashion then. That's going to fall apart after you wear it four times. Those things are not durable. And it's terrible for the environment. So it's just like, I was wondering if you've found any brands that are like sustainable with like sizing.
That's hard because honestly, the reason that I turn to thrifting. the reason that I turned to thrifting is because the sustainable options are just so much more expensive, and I already have like a, I don't know, this whole mental thing with like finances and like how I spend my money. So for me, like, I can't really justify, even if like the sustainability portion is important to me, I can't justify spending $50+ on like a single article of clothing, or hundreds of dollars on a single article
of clothing. That makes no sense. The only thing I would say is shoes, because if they're a good pair of shoes, they'll last forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
unless
true.
Your foot grows, which you're an adult, but like
hopefully not, but you never know.
And like, that's like, I have my dance shoes. Oh my god, don't talk to me about that. Like, luckily my boss just like threw some at me, so I didn't have to buy them, but it was like $300 per pair of shoes for dance. And
oh my god.
At least they're not, like, cheap, you know, like, point shoes. Yeah, it's, like, $100 and it falls apart. It's made of paper mache!
That's like, so bizarre to me.
Normal people's shoes, like, okay, you spend, like, $200 on, like, a nice pair of shoes if they're gonna last, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
It's better than buying, like, cheap plastic and it's, like, in the landfill.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, like, I understand why sustainable fashion tends to be more expensive, because not only are we thinking about environmental sustainability, but also sustainability and fair wages for the workers involved, which is obviously very important. It's just like kind of sucks that we've created this system where in order to have people making fair wages, people have to be privileged enough in order to afford that, which seems pretty bonkers. I guess. And so off the top of my head, like, I don't know that many sustainability brands that are super size inclusive, mostly just because I'm not as familiar with like the most sustainable brands. And obviously, like, there's like a range in terms of sustainability. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of websites that you can find that kind of rate how sustainable or ethical different brands are. So, I mean, if being ethical and sustainable in your fashion shopping is important to you, I'm sure you could kind of find, like, here's, like, the worst of the worst. Here's, like, not great. Here's okay, and here's good. You know what I mean? And kind of shop in where you can afford that's still kind of more in line with your goals, or your values, I mean.
Yeah, I found this one. I found this one that's called Universal Standard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's not, like, thrift store cheap, but it's, like, not super expensive either. Like, I would say the most expensive things are, like, very expensive, but, like, the cheapest things are, like, $20. And they have, like,
yeah,
size up to size 40. Which I thought was pretty cool. And, like, yeah, obviously, yeah, you still have to be rich if you're paying $20 for a t-shirt. But, like, I guess, yeah, like, but, like, you know, it, and it has actually this cool thing. I just, like, I'm looking at it right now where you can see everything, like, as it would look on your size. Which is probably why it's so expensive.
I love when sites do things like that, where
because,
they have,
like,
models.
So if you click on it, on, like, your, like, CMI size or whatever,
mm-hmm,
then you can look at it, and then, like, it will be on a different size person. But also you can try it on, and if it doesn't fit, you could send it back and get it your size. Or no, that's not what it is. You can get it just, like, as a trial. You can try it on. They'll send it. Try it on, and then, like, they'll charge you if
that's
you don't
cool
send it back.
I like that.
I like that too, because it's always my fear. Like, I just had so many things in, like, a shopping cart on the internet, and then I just gave up and just X'd out. I was like,
yeah, yeah, that's fair enough. It gets overwhelming.
I was like, I can't do this.
Oh yeah, so there is one brand that I pulled it up because I was, like, interested now that you mentioned it. There are a couple of brands that I follow. The other thing is sometimes the ethical fashion doesn't fall in line with my fashion sense. So then I'm like, I don't know what to do. But Christy Dawn is one place I follow them on Instagram. They have more of like a boho, pretty like feminine kind of style. And this article says they go up to a size 3X. So, yeah, this one said, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Another thing that, like, I don't know, also kind of has, like, me thinking right now as mm-hmm. I'm, like, trying to, like, find a style, too, is, like, getting over that feeling of, like, this style isn't made for me.
Yes.
You know? Like, I feel, like, one time I was at, so I'm a little bit preppier than Marie. You know, like, Marie's, like, very... very boho, like, floral, flowing. She has, like, these luscious golden locks of hair. It's, like, it's all a vibe. She's vegan, you know. She would live on a farm in, like,
countryside. Yeah, I have to give off hippie vibes.
And then, like, I'm a little bit more preppy, I would say. Like, you know, like, I like my clean-cut lines, my solids. I don't think I own anything floral. I do have one shirt that has strawberries on it, though, which I love, but I think that's also pretty preppy.
That's so adorable.
Like, I'm not preppy, like, what's it called, Lily Pulitzer? Like, I never had a Lily Pulitzer.
Yeah. Sorry, I was about to be so mean. I was like, I need to, can't yuck other people's yums on this show, food or otherwise.
I'm a yucker.
Lily
Pulitzer, okay. So, it's like, I was at J. Crew, with like standing outside of J. Crew with my dad one time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I like that style, but I can never wear it. And he's like, why not? And I was like, because it's like, doesn't look good on my body type. Like, it only looks good on like a mannequin body type. Mm-hmm. And like, so that's something that I feel like I have to get over too. And like, it's the hardest thing, because if you never see people with your body wearing what you want to wear.
Yeah.
And like, I am in a small straight size. I'm not even like, I'm not in a larger body, and I feel this way, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can't even imagine how difficult it must be for people in like a truly like in a larger body than I am to be mm-hmm. seeing these small, small women being like the model, like for the standard of what is style.
Yeah, and then confound that with the fact that when there are plus size models or quote unquote curvy models that are showcasing the clothes, they always have the exact same kind of body shape, which is an hourglass figure, which then of course gives the message that like, oh, the only way that you can exist as a fat person is to have an hourglass figure. Like, that's the only, like, socially desirable way. But then, obviously, like, people of all sizes are different kinds of shapes. So I think even what representation, if you want to call it that, that, you know, people who are plus size or people who are mid-size or whatever that they have is really not that representative either. And I think it just makes it even more confusing.
Right. So it's like, what clothes can I wear?
Yeah.
What clothes can people who are, and here's the thing, is like, there's like this preconceived notion of like flattering clothing.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, and we did a post about it like months and months ago, so maybe we can repost that mm-hmm. as this episode is coming out. Like, it's easy to say it, but it's hard to actually believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, wear the clothes that make you happy, but feeling confident in what you're wearing if you feel insecure about your body could be really hard.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Do you have any advice for me?
For anybody? Well, because I would like to emphasize that, like, you are not alone in that struggle, and I feel the same way, because honestly, even I, the same way that you felt like you couldn't have that kind of J. Crew style, the kind of bohemian-esque style that I've been attracted to, and then also what my Pinterest board has now told me. Based on all the things that I pinned to it, I'm also really interested in, like Paris kind of fashion sense, which I think would be really appealing for you, too.
What is Paris fashion?
I'll show you my Pinterest board. It's like, it's kind of like what you're describing. Like the lines are pretty clean. Things are tailored. They're supposed to fit you well. Does sometimes for me, or at least the things that I post, has a little bit of a feminine twist to kind of at least the top blouses, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. But yeah, I feel like I'm pretty like attracted to that style in like my day-to-day life, but I've always thought that like I couldn't wear, for example, I guess like in my head when I was younger, the ideal version of like bohemian clothing would be like Free People, right?
Do you have $1 million to spend, Marie?
Oh, I have 100% do not. And I've never bought Free People firsthand.
Do you remember the store Lord & Taylor?
Yeah.
You know how they closed?
Yeah.
So I went there right before it closed, and they had this Free People dress. Like, it's gorgeous. It was literally $120. I bought it for $12.
First of all, that's amazing.
I'll show you later.
Yes, I need to see it immediately. That's amazing. But yeah, because they're who they cast to be their models, and also like just my perception of what that style is supposed to be the essence of, I always like imagine that someone thinner than myself is someone that can wear those types of clothing. Like they don't look good on my body. And same thing with the I feel like I'm gonna say it wrong. Is it Parisian? Is that how you say? Okay, great, I did it. The Parisian fashion sense, because everything that I see on my Pinterest, at least, are very, like, straight up and down thin people. I don't know how I can get pants in particular that give me that seam clean line that I see. And I feel like that's probably part of where that inner conflict comes for you as well.
Exactly. And it's like, I've kind of... I am like kind of peppy and like, but also as Marie knows, like I've also like really like the kind of like a gender neutral kind of palette for myself. Like I grew up like super tomboy and like literally I had boys pants only, like I had zip off shorts. That was me. Until amazing. Like 7th or 8th grade, like I dressed fully like a man, and I like that. I like the look of that. But I also only see that on mostly smaller bodies, and like it won't hang the same. The shirts, like pants, don't hang the same on someone that has like boobs or hips or a butt. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do I feel like I'm looking that way without just looking like I'm covering up my whole body, like in a trash bag?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean, and I know we've had that conversation a lot. Because I also do like kind of like an androgynous fashion sense. But it's hard because like on one hand, you don't want to fall into the trap of like, okay, well, I need to find like a more flattering piece of clothing that gives me the same line that someone thinner than me can have just by wearing straight size jeans. Not straight leg jeans.
I just like don't want to dress frumpy either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, like, an oversized look, but I don't want to look like I'm just wearing big clothes.
Yeah.
And I feel like probably a lot of people feel that way when they try to wear these, like, styles.
Yeah, I think, like, sometimes, or at least I know when I was in treatment, like, that became, like, the dichotomy. It's, like, I wasn't comfortable enough with my body to wear something that actually showed what it looked like. So then I would veer towards going in things that were way too oversized to just, like, cover myself up. But that didn't make me feel any better about how I was dressing either. It just really kind of served the immediate function of, like, to further hide myself. Right. And so, like, sometimes And so when I gained weight, as well as like a part of like my recovery process, I started to kind of gear more towards the just buying things that were oversized and constantly going for an oversized look. But it just like really didn't make me feel any more comfortable. Like, I feel like it further emphasized like what I was insecure about, kind of like ironically.
No, yeah, that's exactly what happened to me too. Like, I was like, had to buy bigger clothes, and then I was like, let me just buy clothes way bigger than me so that mm-hmm. no one will look at me. But then it made me feel just like not good.
Yeah.
You just get self-conscious, even more self-conscious. I don't know. Yeah. That's how I felt.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, kind of to answer your original question of like, well, what can you do? Where's the good middle ground? How do you go about it? I have seen a lot of like TikToks recently. I think it's particularly has been like people in larger bodies. Choose like a piece of clothing that they don't feel comfortable wearing, you know, because of whatever beauty standard society has like placed upon them and said like it's not okay for them to wear that, and they just kind of record the video themselves wearing it, and if like that's all they do, that's all they do. So I think like in a therapeutic sense, I know that does have some value of like, if you can, to at least start by just wearing it in your home and kind of get comfortable with it. And then you can yeah. go outside. The problem with that, though, is like, obviously there's a little bit of privilege involved with being able to afford a piece of clothing that you might never wear outside. You yeah. know what I mean? And it's also hard too, because I know sometimes I buy clothing and I'm like, oh, like, I think this looks good. I think I like this, but there's, like, one thing kind of off, and I don't really like that about it. Mm-hmm. And then I just never wear it because yeah. I don't feel comfortable wearing it. Yeah. And that pains my soul just, like, a little bit. One, because I, like, don't want to overconsume, but two, that it feels like I'm not getting any actual use out of the clothing that I'm buying.
Yeah. It's, like, I don't know. And I feel like it was my goal for my New Year's resolution, which we talked about, to get like something like crop top or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I'm too old to be walking around in tank top.
Have you not looked at my Pinterest board?
I did look at it, and I just like, I can't picture myself in it, because I think I've just been like hiding my body.
Yeah.
For a long time.
The reason I said that for everyone that's listening is I pinned one photo of, and granted, the bralette look was a little too much. I think you could do cover up a bit more if you wanted to. But it was basically, I don't know, I feel like it's a look that's kind of in where you either have like a bralette or kind of a crop top, and then you have some kind of collared button-up blouse thing over it, and then you can kind of do a lot with that. You can just wear it open. You can tie it up a little bit if you want. I feel like that kind of fits your vibe.
And it's so cute. Like, I like how that looks. And then, like, if I am going to buy a crop top, I'm like, oh my God, like,
yeah, but I feel like, so.
And like, you can't try anything on right now. You can't go yes, to the store and try it on.
It makes it so hard. Yeah, I agree. Never. But I also think like, if you know you want to wear a crop top, that yeah. isn't like a, and you know that's like something that you would like if you felt comfortable wearing it.
I just feel like it's so cute. Like, everyone looks so cute, and my pants come up high enough that yeah. my belly button wouldn't be out. It's yeah. like, I'm not going to be walking around in these low-rise jeans and a crop top. That's not going to happen.
I just think that, like, that feels more worth the investment to me. Anyways, like, it's not like, I don't know if I would like this if it, you know, I don't know if it fits. I don't know, whatever. It's like one of those things that you can kind of just go for it. And then you can do that. Like, just try wearing it around the house first, then try going outside, or, you know, put something over it and then take that off until you, I don't know. Basically, I'm describing an exposure hierarchy, but I'm trying to make it more palatable and less therapeutic.
Yeah, I know. I just need to stop being a baby. I just need to do it. I'm rubbing
challenged.
My hands together.
Yeah, this is your challenge for the week.
Yeah.
Especially because it's getting warmer, too.
I know. All my clothes are, winter clothes. So.
Same.
I want to wear my shorts this year.
That's exciting.
I just need to do it.
Yeah.
Last year was so hot, and, my apartment has no air conditioning, so.
Oh, yeah.
I did wear shorts in my house.
Good.
And while I was teaching, because the studio, we don't have a lot of money. We're a nonprofit. So
yeah.
Try not to turn on the air conditioner if we don't have to.
That's fine.
We just open the windows and everyone wears shorts.
Yeah. So, do I have actual advice? I guess is what I'm trying to figure out from all this. I think a part of it might just be pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone, which seems like partly your case, G. Another part of it, this isn't necessarily in terms of helping with body image or helping unlearn fat phobic messages and beauty ideals and all that stuff, which I think could be one part of the work. But I think kind of figuring out why you like a style is important to know. What exactly is it about the style that you're attracted to? Because I think that gives you more of a baseline to figure out how that could work for your body and how you can make that work. That's a little difficult to do, I think. And you have to be interested in fashion in order to do that. But
even I don't know, sometimes it's just you like how other people look in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you have to accept that it's not going to look like that on you.
Yeah. That's true. Which can be difficult.
Yeah. I think especially when I first started recovery in my brain, mm-hmm. that's something that it's been the hardest thing for me to get over.
Yeah.
You're not going to look like that in the clothes. Mm-hmm. You're going to look like you in that clothes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just pick something that you like. Don't pick something that looks good on them.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think being comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
How am I trying to phrase that? I mean comfort in terms of the clothes doesn't feel uncomfortable to wear. Sometimes I think really cute blouses, kind of the one I'm wearing now, not that you guys can see it, but it has a bit of a v-neck or whatever, so my little boobies are kind of
showing off the titties
more out than I would generally appreciate them to be. But sometimes for some people that can feel really uncomfortable, or the fabric or the material of it can feel uncomfortable, and I think for an article of clothing to at least kind of fit has to do a lot with comfort, as well as the kind of material and the kind of cut. And I think if you can at least be comfortable in terms of how it feels on your body outside of the body image that gets confounded into whether something feels comfortable or uncomfortable to be in, that's a good first step.
Yeah, we gotta do it, guys. If you guys have any sustainable brands that you really like, or style advice for me personally, or it's just any fashion related things that you want to share, please let us know. Talk to us directly, or anonymously. I don't know how. You can email us. Can you email us anonymously?
If your name isn't in your email, you can.
That's true. And we won't look up your email.
Sign it with your name, and that will work.
But yeah, let us know. Reach out. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Last point I want to reiterate before we just wrap it up is, I think it can be difficult when you want to be sustainable, you want to be ethical, but because of your the situation that you're in prevents you from doing so, I think it's important not to beat yourself up for that. I think it's important to, like, be compassionate and, like, grace, give yourself some grace in that regards, and know that, like, there are still things that you can do within your sphere.
Buying something from Shein or Amazon, it's okay. It's okay. Not ideal, but, you know, it's you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And ultimately, like...
Just don't use it, you know, don't throw it in the trash can. Use it as a rag.
Can you imagine, like, the sparkly dress using it as a rag? Yeah, I think, like, overconsumption is not talked about enough usually when it comes to sustainability. So I feel like when you don't have the means to be sustainable, when the brands and the fashion choices available to you don't fit your body isn't the problem, you're not the problem.
They are the problem.
Yeah. Start with just buying what you need.
Oh my God, wait, sorry. Before we go, did you see that thing where that little girl wrote a letter to Old Navy and she was like, can you please put pockets on my pants? And I was like,
no, but obsessed. She's my hero.
I was like, why Old Navy wasn't putting pants on girls' pocket jean pockets?
You know,
wait, Old Navy wasn't putting pockets on girls' jeans?
I guess not. I'm not surprised.
That's dumb. Sorry. Anyways, y'all, thank you for listening to our show.
You can find us on Instagram at @zerofromthebox, or you can send us an email at zerofromthebox@gmail.com.
And if you want to give me some fashion advice or just see the disastrous outfits I've been wearing, you can follow me at Gianna Bartolini on Instagram. And yeah, have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye.